What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode here on Whiskey Throttle Media. I'm your host, Brent Bowser. Before we jump in the podcast, I want to give a shout out to Factory Connection for coming on board and sponsoring our podcast. They're a big supporter of Whiskey Throttle Media. Lots of our test bikes have Factory Connection suspension on them, and they just do really good work. They've been around a long time. They offer lots of different services for your suspension, full rebuilds, revalve, pretty much everything suspension related that you need, you can get done at Factory Connection. So if you haven't had a chance, go on to factoryconnection.com and see what products and services they have available. We're here with Team Green Rider, Blake Gardner. What's going on, Blake? How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Can't complain, man. Hey, I appreciate you taking the time to jump on here and chat with us today. It's been cool to talk with all the guys coming up through the ranks and, you know, getting close to the pro scene. So before we get too far into it, why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit of background on yourself, who you are, where you're from, how old you are, just things that people out there who don't know who you are wouldn't know about you.
I am Blake Gardner. I am 20 years old and I ride a Kawasaki and I've been riding since I was 2 years old.
So you've been going a long time. And where are you based out of?
Santa Clarita, California, but I'm currently at Rainier Training Complex in Wellston, Oklahoma.
Oh, right on. How long have you been out there and how's the program?
I love the program out here. You know, we just get a lot of pros, ex-pros that were here before me, like Trey Kennard. And we came out when COVID hit because all the tracks closed in California and there was nowhere to ride.
Right.
So we were just kind of sitting ducks out there. So we're like, hey, we've been there before, right before Loretta's for like a week, and it's been here ever since.
So do you miss California or you like it over there now?
I'm kind of glad I'm gone. You know, I just, we have our fifth wheel out here. Mm-hmm. So I just wake up, walk out, get on the bike and go. I don't have to drive hours and hours mm-hmm. every day.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not sitting in that LA traffic, especially Santa Clarita area, right? It gets really congested.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's gotta be cool. So you're in the fifth wheel up there and you're living on the compound. So everything you need to do is there. Like you said, you don't have to deal with waking up, loading up, driving the whole nine. That's cool. That it's gotta be pretty convenient and nice to be in that kind of environment.
Yeah, it's awesome. I also have a gym here that we go to, running trail, mountain bike trail. We got it all.
That's cool. And who are you teamed up with out there? Are you kind of on your own program or who do you try to, you know, ride with and train with and things like that?
Usually it's just all of us. We all ride together out here, all of us at once. But right now, Benny Bloss is here. Oh, he's he rides for Beta. And Tyler Gibbs, he's a Canadian. He did the GT Arena Cross Series. He is doing East Coast Supercross now. And his teammate, I might butcher his name, is Jorgen? Tyler?
Oh, yeah.
Tyler
yeah.
Leek, I don't know how to quite say it. But, mm-hmm. And Ronnie Orez, too. He's also out here.
That's cool. Yeah, we'll jump into, you know, talking about living out there and, you know, how fun it is and maybe how much of a grind it is. But before we do that, going back to when you were younger, growing up in SoCal or Santa Clarita, were you homeschooled? Did you go to public school or how did you grow up as a child?
Yeah, you know, I was one of like the only guys. I was the public school kid ever since I was little, you know, just kindergarten, sixth grade. And then we moved to middle school, seventh and eighth grade. And then I went to Canyon High for ninth and 10th grade. And then COVID hit and it went all online. So from there, we just went to a homeschool program to be better off without all the Zoom calls for 6 hours a day so I can ride.
Yeah, no kidding. That was a crazy time. I have a 14-year-old and yeah, I think it's messed it up for a lot of people. And then, you know, COVID online school, and then now it's been crazy. But so that's cool.
I couldn't imagine.
Oh, yeah. No, it was wild. Yeah. You know, a fifth grader sitting on a Zoom call all day, that's not always fun. So
yeah, they can't sit still.
No. So yeah.
Me as a kid, yeah, I would look forward to recess and lunch, you know, I'm just like, I want to get out there.
Yeah.
Get out, stand up, do something.
So that's cool. So did you want to be homeschooled prior? Did you beg your parents before? And that was just kind of the avenue you can go because of COVID, or were you just never thought you'd be homeschooled?
I actually never thought I'd be homeschooled because I have two older sisters and we're all 3 years apart. So we've all just gone to school together and I just followed their footsteps and I was just like, you know, I mean, it's not bad. I get out at school at 2 o'clock, and we have a lot of night tracks in California that we can ride, and then weekends and holidays and all that. So it worked out decently, but it really stepped up below when we went homeschool. So yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you because you've been, racing a long time. You've been going to Loretta's for a long time. So obviously, you've been a good rider for a long time by just making it to Loretta's and things like that. But do you think when you made that switch to homeschool that and you went out to, Rainier's Complex out there, that really elevated, your riding and you just went to another level?
I definitely think so. Yeah. It was, I was struggling for a little bit, and then we came here and we just got stuff sorted out, and it just really took off from there.
And
You know?
do you think it was just being able to ride and train more and, not really have to worry about going to school all day and doing all those things? Is it just something that it's just a big advantage to be able to be at a place like that?
I believe so to a certain point. Like as a kid, I don't think it really matters that much. Because it's just riding time, and then once you get to a certain level, it's like, how do I get better? It's like I can't keep doing the same thing, so I think it really helps.
That's cool. Yeah, and it's cool to see when you put in that kind of work, you progress and get better. And what do you think, what year was it, and or did it was there a year that you felt like you just made the jump to where, we'll talk about, Loretta's in 2022, you won, first in 250B Limited and eighth in 450B. Obviously those are really good results. And was there a year before that that you're like, man, I'm really riding good, and you kind of expected that of yourself?
Yeah, so I've been to Loretta's since I think 2014 was my first year. I missed 2015 because I broke my leg, and then I've been every year since. And I was on the struggle bus for a little bit. It was just, I don't know, I just couldn't ever race really. I'd be good in practice, and I couldn't race. But in 2020, after coming here, I got my very first top 10 moto finish. And then the next year in 2021, I tore my ACL in December of 2020. So I was off for 6 months. So I did another year of 125s. And I got my first overall in top 10. So I was really accomplished by that. And then the next year, I came out swinging, I guess.
Yeah, you did. And I noticed you didn't go in 2023. Was there an injury? I couldn't find anything. Wasn't sure why you didn't go in last year.
Yeah, so I went to my area and I'm going blank on it. Sunset Ridge, that I love that. That place is really fun. I won my area there, and then we were here and I had a practice crash and I ended up breaking my scaphoid.
Okay.
And it was the same week as the area qualifier here at Raynard, so I was like, I didn't know it was broke at the time, and I was like, all right, I'm racing. Like, I can't miss this. We gotta do Loretta's, So I went out. I actually did really good at the area. I got, I think, first in one class and second in the 450. And then I just kinda sat off the couch for a month or a month and a half until the regional. I went to Freestone and I was feeling pretty good. It was definitely weak to ride on. But I got a few hole shots led and I faded quite a bit. And then I ended up crashing again there just in a turn and I landed funny on my hand. So we just called it after that and decided to just heal first, get myself straight, and then figure it out from there.
Yeah, that's your knees and injuries and stuff like that. That's definitely not fun, but that's cool that you're back healthy. But one thing I thought was interesting after looking at it, you end up racing some arena cross in 2023. I think you were like rookie of the year for 2023. What were you always planning on that? And what was kind of the plan to do that? Was that just to get, some experience riding more of Supercross and getting that tighter track feel? And prepare, for the Supercross features you're doing that you were doing and you're doing this year, or is that just something that you want to pursue also, arena cross?
Yeah, it just kind of came out of nowhere, to be honest. Like, we came back here in, I think, January, after I got hurt, and then we were just riding Supercross, getting ready for Futures, and then there ended up being a arena cross, well, like 30, 45 minutes from here in Guthrie. They had two rounds, so we went to the first one and watched, and I'm like, dude, I can do this. I can still race. Like, this is sweet. And the big thing for me was, so I can still race A class. So we looked into it, and you can still race A class and race the arena cross. So that was, we were like, all right. So we stepped in and did that one in Guthrie. And then we did one more in Amarillo, and then we did a few futures, and then did a few more arena cross after that.
That'd have been pretty cool. I don't know how much if you've ridden any arena cross before, but how was it? Obviously, I like watching arena cross. I've been watching it this year, and tight technical tracks. You don't really, it's obviously really short lap times and not a whole lot to separate, but was it pretty fun? And how was that experience overall?
Yeah, the first one, the nerves definitely got to me. I was just kind of freaking out, making a lot of mistakes, just silly first timer rookie stuff. And then I just got better throughout the year and more consistent. But yeah, it's close racing. You definitely get banged every time you're out there. So yeah, you gotta be careful about that. But other than that, it's all right. It's just so different from Supercross. The way the turns are, it's like you just come in and slide and go, where Supercross is a lot of momentum.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, was there, now that you've done some Supercross Futures and Arena Cross, it's a big difference, huh? So you think, oh, it's tight track and rhythm sections and whoops and stuff, but it's actually really different.
Yeah, everyone thinks it's like the same thing, just like small, but it's almost like you have to ride entirely different. Like, because I did a few this year, and then we went to the Anaheim 2 Futures, and both three practices, I could not turn at all. Like, I was so set into arena cross mode, like, go in fast, slide at the background, and go. And it wouldn't work for me. You have to use a lot more momentum and stick to the ruts in supercross. So it was a little different, that's for sure.
Yeah, you mentioned A2. So you got fifth there. You had a couple of good results last year. Have you been, Supercross rider growing up? There's Supercross tracks in Southern California, but we mostly grew up racing moto. Did you have much Supercross experience prior to last year, or was that really your first time getting on it?
It was my first time ever getting on it. Like, I've just hopped on it and played a little bit, but like hit the finish line or double the rhythm, but I've never ridden it. And I saw everyone, they were riding it, and like right after Loretta's, and that's like right when I got released was August. So I'm like, maybe we should start riding it, like getting ready, because we didn't get invited at that time yet, but
Oh,
we're
okay.
like, you know what? We might as well get prepared for it. So we got a late start on it, but we're getting there. So I'm happy with my riding lately.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I mean, you got fifth. The guys in front of you were good dudes on good teams, and you beat some guys on some good teams that were behind you. So I mean, you have to be pretty stoked with that fifth place finish on that track. I was there that night, and for being a Supercross Futures round, it was pretty technical, not only from the track, but just how it broke down. Like, it looked like a pretty tough race for you guys.
Yeah, it was really beat up. I was talking to Benny about it, and he said it's like one of the worst beat tracks he's ever ridden. Like, he's never seen anything like that. Like the tabletop where everyone was landing on before the
Jeez.
sweeper and then the whoops, it was like a foot hole in it. Like, I've never seen anything like that. And I thought, oh, maybe, it's like this is normal, but I guess it rained the week like that in the beginning of the week, and they had to bring the dirt out, let it dry, and then they finally put it together, and it just was super soft.
Yeah, it was. I did track walk that morning, and I was looking at that section that you're talking about where they were landing on the table. And at first, I'm like, dude, I don't know if you're, because you come out of that left, and I mean, it was a pretty short run. And I can't believe some of those guys actually tripled out of the corner in the 450 class. That was wild. But
Yeah, that was crazy.
dude, I
I
was
was
like,
like, I don't even think that's possible.
I looked at that section. I'm like, oh, okay, they're going to go double. Then they're going to maybe go onto the table. I didn't expect, you know, those guys to triple out of that tight left. I was just like, holy. And then that off, when you land on the table and you jump off into that left-hander that has the rollers, I'm like, there wasn't really any room to stop either. So I was just like, man, this track is pretty technical. And I can only imagine how the whoops were. You know, I'm not sure how you feel in the whoops, but those two sections were pretty gnarly all night.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the tabletop, it was really hard to get over it. And then one time I got a little sketchy, like, in the turn, and somehow there was, like, those rollers in the turns, and I, like, perfectly doubled them. It was, like, super smooth and super fast, and I'm like, I don't even know how I did that, to be honest. I just came off the tabletop, stepped off, got a little sideways, and just doubled it. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that was smooth. I couldn't do it again after that, though.
So are you enjoying Supercross, and has it come easier than you thought, or is that just something, you know, you just, it's just something you picked up on, because you've had, you know, for just starting to ride it, you know, last year, and going to having two good results in the futures last year, then obviously a fifth at A2 is pretty solid. So is it just something that you felt comfortable on with, or are you still working at it?
Yeah, I'm still working at it. It's just a big comfort thing, just because I've never ridden it. Mm-hmm. And my suspension, we've stiffened it and stiffened it and stiffened it, like, gradually throughout the year. So it's like, as I go faster, we got to stiffen it more, and then I got to get comfortable on it, then we stiffen it more. But I think we're at a pretty solid setting right now.
Yeah, and it's probably totally, you know, 100% different than riding outdoors where you're on softer stuff. So now you're basically on riding on bricks out there.
Yeah. I tried to ride the outdoor track right before the LA Coliseum race because it was the SMX. So I was like, I don't know how outdoorsy it's going to be. And oh my gosh, that was not fun. my wrist, my hands, they just hurt from all the little impacts that you just don't have on Supercross.
Yeah, it's wild to me. And they're getting better with it, with having the futures and the combines and things like that. But it's just wild to me that, you know, you guys grow up your whole life pretty much riding outdoor motocross tracks. And then you get to a certain age and you're like, all right, well, you got to be good at Supercross too. And it's, you're like, what? I've ridden my whole life, never ridden anything like this. So it's wild. And it's cool that they have these new programs, but still you don't grow up riding that. So it's just something that you're never used to.
Yeah. It's just, when I first got on it, it was like, Rob just telling me, he's like, just ride it, you know, go up, land smooth, set the bike down, get comfortable with it, set it down, move a little bit, like, just get comfy, get comfy. And then he said, that's once you get to a point, we'll start racing it. Like, sprints and getting comfortable with that, because then once you sprint, you go faster into the obstacles, you try to suck them up, and then you go too far because you haven't done it yet, and you're like, oh my. You just feel like sketchy at first, and then you're like, oh, okay, this isn't bad. Like, it was just, it's a complete different riding style.
Yeah, and I can imagine, I'm sure, are there days you have out, like, at the track that's track's all fresh, and, you know, it's not, everything's just coming easy where you just flown around the track? That I've never have done that, obviously, but that's got to be a pretty fun time riding your dirt bike when you're on, like, a fresh track and there's no reason to push, but you're just nailing every line, and you're just, it's just like a video game.
Yeah, when the berms are fresh and the dirt is nice and soft and ready, oh, it's such a good feeling.
Yeah, I can imagine. So one thing I noticed too is growing up, I mean, you're primarily a ATM and Husky kid, you know, until 2022 when you won that title at Loretta's, and then you made the switch over to Kawasaki for 2023. Did you get picked up by Team Green? How did that kind of come about? And did you have any other options, or was the Kawasaki just what you were trying to do?
Well, yeah. So we won Loretta's and we were reaching out to everybody, calling everybody, texting them, emailing them, sent everybody our resume, and we got nothing back.
That's crazy.
I was in shock, to be honest. I was like, well, like, what do we even do? Like, we had nobody like wanting to support us, and I was just kind of just shocked and devastated. I'm like, well, I don't even know what to do now. So we got we got a little help from Team Green, which thankfully that worked out for us. And yeah, you know, it's just I look and there's kids that I beat there, and they just got different rides, a better ride, this ride. I'm like, well, what did we do wrong? And I was just trying to figure it out and see what I can do.
Yeah, and it's interesting how it's, you know, the amateur scene works, because I would say, I mean, looking at, you know, results from Larez, and I know, you know, they look at, and even your Supercross Futures results, because I know they're looking at all these different things now, not just Loretta's, but I mean, you basically went from, you know, a mini bike into schoolboy, and then, but really you kind of blossomed once you got on the big bike, it seemed like, right? You were obviously good on a smaller bike, but I feel like you've gotten really good since you got on a big bike. Does that seem pretty accurate?
Yeah, I just, I have like that just natural, like born strength. Like that, just farmer strength, I guess. And it just really helped out when I got on the four stroke.
Yeah, and that's what, because I was like, man, you got, you know, first we're riding Supercross, and you know, you got a 7th and a 10th last year in the futures, and you know, your first one this year, or then you won that 250B in 2022, and then you showed this year too that, you know, you got a 5th at A2 futures. You've shown that you're pretty good on a big bike. So I'm sure, you know, it's frustrating to not get these calls to say, hey, you want to come ride for us, where you feel like maybe you should have that opportunity.
Yeah, I was just sitting there waiting for the call. And you and my dad are just sitting there. We're like, all right, someone's got to call at some point. We're just waiting and waiting. And it just never came.
Yeah, and it's crazy to think. Obviously, there's lots of talented kids out there, and there's not that many seats available, even in the pro ranks, right? It's like, think about it. The guys on the gate, you got 250 class, 22 guys, East Coast, West Coast, and the main. You got maybe 10 guys on a team on each coast, you know, to give or take, depends on what level of team you're talking about. But it's like there's so many people, but not enough seats. So I can imagine how frustrating it is, especially when you go out there and beat some of these guys, and, you know, no offense to them, but you're like, man, I've just been beating these kids, and then, you know, here I am. So yeah, I can only imagine.
Yeah, it's definitely frustrating, but we just do our own thing now and just trying to get support and move on from there.
Yeah, definitely. So what's your plans on for 2023? You know, you race A2 Futures, or for 2024, you race A2 Futures. Are you planning on doing all the futures, some combines? Like, what are your plans for 2024?
Well, we're actually leaving Wednesday, and we are heading to Daytona for the Daytona Futures round.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on my riding and where we're at, Robbie thinks we might step up into the pro ranks after that.
Oh, right on. Are you pretty stoked with that? I mean, you know, obviously you showed A2, you did good, and Daytona, totally different than, you know, in Anaheim, but you're hoping to get a feel for that and, you know, make a run at the East Coast Supercross.
Yeah, you know, I'm excited. I just want to show everybody what I can do. Just prove everybody that I got it.
Yeah. And it's got to be pretty cool going into Daytona. It looks like a cool facility. It's going to be, obviously I've heard, you know, it's hard to see and the track is, you know, gets holes and is more outdoorsy. Are you looking forward to that, or are you kind of nervous about what it may be?
I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's just different terrain, dirt, everything. Like, it's fast, a lot faster than most other supercrosses, but I think it'll be fun. You just got to be fun as fast as what some people tell me. So just got to get out there, get a flow, have fun, and speed will come.
Awesome. Well, hey, man, we appreciate you jumping on, you know, kind of chatting about you, getting to know you a lot more, actually, than, you know, what I was able to get by just reading about you. So it's been fun. But before I let you go, I want to give you a chance to, you know, give a shout out to the people who support you and make it happen for you.
Okay. Yeah. So we have Team Green Kawasaki, Fly Racing USA, Oakley Motorsports, Pro Circuit, Dunlop, Hinson, Rainer Trading Complex, Rainer Modification. He does all my suspension. Definitely my dad. He does all my bike work and helps me get to the races and everything. He's always been there for me. ASB Inventions, Mika Metals, Maxima, EBC, Brakes, Throttle Kit, Motul, like the Moto tool, like the SAG tool. All Balls Racing, W, NGK spark plugs, Vertex pistons, Matrix, Motion Pro, Works Connection, Lightspeed, Altus Motorsports. They help me get on my bikes and supply me with some parts. And then Dedicated Ride Company, Mobius braces, Pro Taper. And then last year and this year, this is a new sponsor for me, is That's It Fruit Bars. Have you ever heard of them?
I have not.
So yeah, they're helping us out a lot. We have samples out at all the races.
Oh, sweet.
Fruit Bars. And then Wicked Chicken SCV is a restaurant out there. And that's about it.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, like I said, it was fun catching up and getting to know you more. And yeah, stay safe. And yeah, maybe we'll see you at the next stop of the East Coast Supercross.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it.